Now let's come to John, the fifth chapter, and let's look at some of the if clauses here in the Gospel of John. And what we are going to see all the way through when it relates to God, to Christ, to us, the choice is always up to us. But I think let's come here to John 5 and verse 31. And let's go back to verse 30 here, because this is important. Verse 30, John 5, where Jesus said, I have no power to do anything of myself, that is, of my very own self as a human being. I have no power to do that which is spiritual. That's what he's talking about here. Same way with us. We can't do spiritual things on our own. We need the Spirit of God. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So this also applies to us when we're judging situations, when we're looking at fruits to judge fruits. We do so according to the will of God, and then it's not our judgment, and it's not our will. And if we see it the way God sees it, we don't need to be all lifted up in how important we are and what we can do and all of this sort of thing, but realize that it's from God. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. See, because God demands what? Two or three witnesses, right? Okay. Verse 32, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that his testimony that he witnesses concerning me is true. So then he gives them a proposition, because they did send to John, didn't they? Yeah, they sent delegation down there to say, who are you? Are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you that prophet? No. Well, who are you? He said, well, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, Jesus said he was Elijah, but John didn't know it. So everyone who's out there claiming to be Elijah, listen up. If John didn't know it, what makes you think you know you are? Okay. Okay. Verse 33. You have sent to John, and he's borne witness to the truth. Now, I do not receive witness from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. So everything that he's going to say from here on, everything that he's going to say, as we'll see in John the 8th chapter, 7 and 8 in just a minute, is so that they might be saved by what? Coming to Christ. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works that the Father gave me to complete, the very works that I am doing themselves bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now notice, we'll see what he's building up to as we come along. Here's something very key or important right here. Verse 37 and 38. The Father himself who sent me has borne witness of me, and you have neither heard his voice nor seen his form at any time. So, that's why the one who gave the Ten Commandments could not have been God the Father, because Moses saw God, right? In his glory, the backside of him, correct? Talked to him face to face. So did Abraham and Isaac, and so did Adam and Eve and all the patriarchs that we have listed before the flood. Because before the flood, God would appear not in his glory, but he would appear as a man. Now, verse 38. Here's the key, and this is a question we need to ask ourselves. And everyone who wants to serve God. Now here are the religious leaders, the ones who were supposed to speak the truth, teach the truth, bring the people to God, proclaim the scriptures to them. And you do not have his word dwelling in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. Search the scriptures, which most of them don't do. You know, how many times did Jesus said, have you never read? For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are the ones that testify of me. But, you see, because of their human carnality, and whom they were really serving, which will be brought out in chapter 8 in just a minute. But you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men. See, and this was the downfall of Hezekiah. They came and said, oh, Hezekiah, you must be really important to God because he did all of these things to you. Oh, look at all of that gold. Yeah, let's get our armies over here. Oh, look at all of that silver. Ooh, maybe two or three armies here, you know. Now, all of this other treasure, all the... Oh, you're really a wonderful guy. And he just kept getting lifted up and lifted up and lifted up, you know. Okay. He received the glory of men. But Jesus said, verse 41, I do not receive glory from men. It's fleeting. But I have known you. He knew them from the past. He knew them before he came. Now, here's quite an indictment. That you do not have the love of God in yourselves. Oh, what an indictment that is. Now remember, these were the religious leaders. These were the ones who came to the temple. These were the ones in charge of the Word of God. So this is really something, isn't it? But I have known you that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. And isn't that the very first thing we're to do? Yes. So can you have a religion in form and shell, but be totally empty and void of any spiritual consequences? Of course. Continuing, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. But if another comes in his own name, you will receive him. And isn't that what they did when Bar Kokhba came along? And Rabbi Akiva proclaimed him as Messiah, and the Jews suffered a worse defeat in 135 AD than they did in 70 AD. Oh, they would believe him. They wouldn't believe Christ. Verse 44, how are you able to believe you who receive glory from one another? Rest my case. Oh, how good you are, Rabbi. Oh, yes, that was wonderful. Oh, yes, and you really read those scriptures good in the synagogue the other day. That was really, really nice. Oh, I love your new phylacteries. Oh, yes, I blew my trumpet 15 times, you know, this last week, you know. Oh, yes. Oh, and I prayed for widows, and she deeded it to the treasury. Oh, really? Yes, you know. Receive glory. You receive him. How are you able to believe you who receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Hey, notice everything is God first, right? Yes. That's where the churches of God have gone wrong. They put the church first and God second. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Present tense. Moses' words are still active because they are spirit and they are truth, and it's just like the law of gravity. All the laws of God work automatically. So the sins that they have, Moses is accusing them. But notice what he says. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope. Now here is the if clause to bring us up to date on all that he was saying here. Okay? Verse 46. But if you believed Moses... Well, we can sure apply that to the Protestants, Catholics, can't we? Yes, indeed. To the Jews, too, because Judaism is nothing more than a religion of the traditions of men and all the other religions of the world. Here's something I got. I'm going to have to give a sermon on this. Believers of the world, unite. How's that? Okay? Yes. Okay, and this is put out by Dr. Pasha. I'll have to find out if he's a Hindu or whether he is a Muslim. And what is it? Everyone, we have a world day of God. All religions. Remember the first seal? Revelation 6. See, all of these things are going to come exactly as God said in his time. All right. let's set that aside. But if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. And if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words?
Boy, is that not true, Protestantism, correct?
Well, they believe some, just like Cain. Ooh, we'll take some of your words, Lord.
Got to believe all of them. What did Jesus say? Man shall live by some of the words of God, part of the words of God, only the words of God they like? No. Man shall live by every word of God. Okay. If you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? Okay. Now, we have all of these things here. Okay. Let's come down here to chapter 6, verse 51. Another if clause. Chapter 6 and verse 51. Oop, turned too far. Chapter 7 won't do it. There we go. Okay, verse 51. And of course, you have to read the whole chapter to see what he was building up to with this. And again, provoking the Jews. And again, provoking his own disciples. Those who said, oh, we believe you, Jesus. Okay, here was their test. And what happened after he got done here? Many left and departed and followed him no more because of what we're going to read here in John the 6th chapter. Now, that's pretty heavy duty, isn't it? Yes, indeed. So it's no surprise that we have very similar circumstances come up in the Church of God again to see, do we really believe and love God? All right. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, and that goes back to Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, you see. And of course, the Jews, now you can have a lot of them out there. Boy, eat my flesh, does he believe in cannibalism? And then drinks my blood, as he says a little later here. Okay. But he says, if anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is even my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And even today, the Jews say, the Bible forbids human sacrifice, so we can't believe in Christ. That's something. But what if God loved you so much he gave his life for you? You ever think of it that way? Now, we saw quite a dedication on television here recently of a man who received Medal of Honor in Afghanistan. The explosive came in. I guess it was more than a hand grenade. He took his helmet and put on it and went over the top of it and blew himself up and killed himself. Quite a thing. Everyone said, oh, what a wonderful man this was. Oh, he was really thinking of them. Well, they gave him the Medal of Honor. But if Christ comes and dies and gives his life willingly, lays it down voluntarily. You know, the Jews say, how could he give us his flesh to eat? So then Jesus wanted to make sure they got the point. Verse 53. Therefore Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless, which is almost another if clause, which is, if you do not, could be translated that way too. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you, in yourselves, rather. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. So he's really laying it heavy on them here, you see. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is dwelling in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so also the one who eats me shall live by me. This was a heavy, heavy load for them, see. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and died. The one who eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he was teaching in Capernaum. So who? Can you imagine the uproar after that? You know, kind of like the Apostle Paul, every time he went into a synagogue of the Jews, he almost started a riot. Okay? Verse 60, the key. Therefore, after hearing these words, many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who is able
who hear it. But Jesus, knowing that his disciples were complaining about this, said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So that summarizes that whole thing. So the if clause goes all the way through. If you see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before. Well, the disciples ended up doing that, didn't they? Yes, they did. All right, let's come to chapter 7 now. There are a few here that we need to understand. Let's come here to verse 14, when Jesus came up to the feast in the middle of the feast. Let's see what he said then. And again, we will see it is the same message, emphasized again, personal choice, personal responsibility all the way through. Verse 14, then about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and was teaching. And the Jews were amazed, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never been schooled?" Now, in the back of the Bible, we've got an appendix. God the Father taught Jesus Christ. Because those who believe in Judaism say, "Well, Jesus attended the synagogues and the rabbis taught him." Do you think that God the Father would leave the one who was to be the Messiah of the whole world to be educated by lying human beings? Answer, no. So you read Isaiah 50, where he was awakened every morning. That's when the Father taught him. See? Now you can know for sure, never schooled. That means never attended any of their schools. What do you think would have happened to the rabbi who taught him had he gone to any of their schools and taught him these things? He would have been executed too, right? Okay. So here's what Jesus answered. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine," that is my teaching. "It's not coming from me, but the one who sent me." So now think about this again. All the words that we have to do with the New Covenant, and actually all the words in the Bible, actually originate with God the Father through Jesus Christ, whether the Lord God of the Old Testament or Jesus Christ of the New. Okay. Verse 17, here's the big if. If, there we go, capitalized and bold in the printout that I have. If anyone desires to do his will, again, the will of God, again, right? Yes. He shall know of the doctrine or teaching whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own self. So here we have another key. If you want to practice or desire to do the will of God, you will understand it, that it's from God. So there you go. How do you understand the will of God? By doing it as you learn it and the things that you learn, and you take it a step at a time. See? That's why God first begins to reveal to people things concerning the Sabbath, and then they have a choice to make. Will you keep the Sabbath or will you not keep the Sabbath? And that's a decision you have to make, and that's a choice you have to make. And each one of us could have our own stories where we related to our employers why we needed the time off and, you know, for keeping the Sabbath. I know I was cooking in Kibbe's restaurant and on the kitchen down there in Palo Alto. And I told my boss, I'd been working there for 4 years and worked sometimes two shifts, and I'd work 7 days a week. So, hey, good old reliable Fred, he'll be there every time. All we have to do is call him, see? So I came back from counseling and baptism, and I knew I had to keep the Sabbath, so I came up to my boss and I said, "Well, I need to let you know that I have to have from Friday night off to Saturday night off, from sundown." He looked at me and he said, "What for?" And I said, "Because of my religion." He looked at me and said, "What did you do to become religious, you know?" So finally got it worked out. Okay? Then you begin to understand. See, when you respond to the will of God and obey in everything that God teaches, when you learn it, begin to do it, you say, aha. Then you also understand that it also comes from the love of God because he loves us. All right, let's continue on here. You'll know the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own self. The one who speaks of himself is seeking his own glory. Watch Trinity Channel sometime. The one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now notice how he ends this section here. Did not Moses give you the law, and not one of you is practicing the law? Isn't that amazing? Were they there at the Feast of Tabernacles? Yes. But were they practicing the law of God? No. See, because practicing the law of God comes from inside. See. And what is the ultimate of conversion to be for us? What's to happen with the commandments and laws of God? What? To be written in our hearts and in our minds, right? Hebrews 10:16. Why do that? So we can practice them automatically. Okay. Not one of you is practicing the law. Why do you seek to kill me? No, we're not trying to. Oh, you must have a demon. No one's seeking to do that. Sound a little like the press today? Okay, then he talks about circumcision here. Verse 22. Now then, Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you see. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me because I made a man entirely whole on the Sabbath? Talk about straining in a gnat and swallowing a camel, right? Yes. All right, we'll end this section here, verse 24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment has to be based on the law of God, the love of God, the commandments of God. And remember this, repentance must come before the application of mercy. Most people want mercy with no repentance. All right, now let's come here to John 8 and verse 14. Let's back up here to verse 12. Now this chapter has 14 ifs. This is a central chapter that we need to understand in relationship between the way of God, the true Christ, and being religious. And also to understand something very fundamental. Satan loves to come into what he considers the source of power within the structure of a church. Or in this case, with the structure of the scribes and Pharisees and the temple. What better place to be to deceive people than to be at the temple and lead them astray, saying, God says what he never said. So here a lot, we're going to see. They profess that they believe in Jesus, but they were following Satan the devil. John 8 and verse 12. So let's see how all of this builds up here, you see. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Therefore the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself, and your testimony is not true. Well, they're calling Jesus a liar, aren't they? We'll see a little later on in this, he said, well, if I deny the Father, then I'd be a liar like you. Jesus answered and said to them, even if, there we go, profound if, If I testify about myself, my testimony is true, because I know where I have come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I have come from or where I go. Because the Father was with him, so that would be two. Correct? You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet, judgment is coming. There's judgment day by day. There's judgment all of our lives. And then there's the final judgment at the resurrection. My judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but the Father, but I and the Father who sent me. And it's written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Boy, they said, now we got him. Then they said to him, where is your father? Well, by this time, Joseph was dead, whom they thought was his father. It wasn't. Jesus answered, you have neither known me nor my father, if, there again the if, okay? You had known me, you would also have known my father. So you see, here again we have things that come together, right? The Father and the Son. Okay, if you had known me, you would have also known my Father. And Jesus spoke these words in the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one arrested him because his time had not yet come. So that then he began, because this whole chapter is important. Now, I know I've gone over this, times in the past, but sometimes it's good that we go over scriptures again so we can learn more lessons out of them as we go along. And what this does when we do, not only does it give us repetition, but this gives us conviction and understanding because we learn more from it, you see. So let's go on. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away and you shall seek me and you shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you're not able to come. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? What does this do about going to heaven? Because that's where he was going. And when you disprove the immortality of the soul, what does that do about believing in the immortality of the soul? And by the way, Judaism believed in the immortality of the soul. So the Jews therefore said, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I'm going, you're not able to come? Then he answered, now notice how this whole thing builds up all the way through chapter 8. And really, really builds to a tremendous climax right at the end of the chapter. And you have to see the whole thing going through here. And there are 14 ifs in this chapter. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That is why I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, that told him clearly who he was, you shall die in your sins. But they didn't want to believe that. Oh, they didn't want to believe that. That's true. There's that if clause. If you do not believe that I am he, or that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for I am. One is ego, the other is eimi. When they're together, you have a double emphasis of it, meaning I am, and that goes right back to Exodus, the third chapter. Okay? Then they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, the one that I said to you in the beginning. From the beginning. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, these things I speak to the world. But they did not know that he was speaking to them about the Father. See, because the Father is revealed to those whom God called. Now, let's go ahead and we'll finish down to verse 30. Then Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourselves shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, these things I speak. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, because I always do the things that please him. And we can likewise do the same thing. Through repentance, Spirit of God, loving God, obeying God, keeping his commandments. And remember, we keep the commandments of God in a spiritual way, not just in the letter. And by the way, we have the whole series, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping Now, on one CD. So we'll have that available. And that series is the most important series that we've done recently, and also really helps crystallize and brings to light all the things in the New Testament as to how we are to do what we do, the way that we do it, the spiritual meaning behind all of it, and our relationship with God, and what that does. That'll help you understand that it will, in your own mind, lift in higher esteem and greater emphasis to know that God is dealing with us in a special way through his Spirit. So we'll go ahead and end it there and continue next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.